On today's Trial Run podcast, we introduce you to a new season, new segments, NFL talk, NBA basketball. Well, not really NBA, more of the Team USA losing. You know how that is. NCAA football is back, and we got a lot more content for you, and it starts right now. And that was the last time, baby.
We back.
If you've been watching us and you've been paying attention to us over our last, I suppose, year or so of content, we're back better than ever, by the way. This is the Trial Run podcast. You know that we like to take different segment bits from different shows, and we like to do things a little bit unique our way. We take bits from other shows. We like the Dan Le Batard show. We like Pardon My Take. Shout out to Barstool. Shout out to ESPN. We do stuff based on them a little bit. Those are our favorite shows. And we'll get to our segments a little bit later. But right now, we're at the beginning of the show, a new season, season 2, episode 1. And we talked to you a little bit over the summer, but I want to hear from you. How was your summer? I know I've already talked to you about this off the air, but tell the people what they want to hear.
It's just really, the summer was great, but it's just so great to be back and in the swing of things, back with the podcast, back with the fans that, you know, we love so much. I know they love us because, you know, who wouldn't? But it's just really, it's been a great experience starting this back up. But in terms of my summer, you know how it is. I stayed on the grind. Like I said earlier, I was a working man. And
you sat around and did nothing.
Oh, I was working hard and I got the dough to show it.
Are you sure about that?
I'm sure about that.
So we've seen a lot of quirky stuff go on this summer. And if you've seen what's been happening in the NFL recently.
Wait.
Whoa, what?
What about your summer? I want to hear a little bit about what you did.
Well, I did nothing. You know, I worked golf.
I know exactly what you did. I'm just playing with you.
Yeah, no, I worked golf. I sat there, did nothing for the rest of the summer. And then, you know, I somehow wound up back at Central Michigan University in beautiful Mount Pleasant. It's currently raining. It's supposed to be thunderstorming for like the next 3 days.
So. I already hate my classes. So yeah, we're off to a good start.
Yeah, we're off to a fantastic start. But if you'll now allow me to say what I was going to say.
Please, by all means,
go ahead. The quirkiest of all things that have happened this summer might have just happened, and it's not even summer anymore, and it's the Andrew Luck story. We've seen what happened. Where did this come from? Because everybody, from what I heard, everybody was full support of him in the Colts organization. Everybody wanted him to come back, obviously, because he's an exceptional quarterback, and he's very good at what he does. And this seemed to come out of left field. Is he justified in doing this? Good move, bad move for him? I know all the Colts fans are going to say bad move. There's so much depth and so many layers to this story, and I want to get your opinion on this before I tell you that you're wrong and tell you my opinion.
Can I have the first hot take of season 2?
I would love if you did that.
First hot take of season 2, this is the most surprising occurrence in sports history.
Yeah, I'm going to tell you right now that there's an entire Twitter thread that tells you you're wrong, and I'm going to pull that up while you're talking, so just keep filibustering.
This is the most surprising thing ever. I mean, you have things that compare. You have Barry Sanders, two Lions, actually, for example. Barry Sanders and Calvin Johnson both retiring. Those are very surprising things, but, I mean, this literally came out of nowhere. We knew that Andrew Luck was injured. We knew that, you know, he was working through some things, but he was on track to come back. He might have even started week one if he hadn't made this announcement. I was shocked and frankly disappointed because in one of my fantasy leagues, you already know that I had him as a quarterback.
Which yeah, that's is a fat L on that front.
Huge L. I figured I'd have him back, but I remember we were sitting down, we were watching a great game of college football, the first.
Which we'll get to that in a little bit. University of Miami versus University of Florida, what a game that was.
Sitting there minding our own business, and all of a sudden breaking news from Adam Schefter, the man, the myth, the legend, Adam Schefter, just announces out of nowhere that Andrew Luck is retired. I was shocked. I have never been so caught off guard by a sports moment in my life.
Brittany Griner pays child support to another WNBA player. Is that more shocking?
Freakish, not shocking.
Well, I mean, is that not synonyms? Are those not synonymous with one another?
No, they're definitely not. Give me another one.
I'm still looking. You got to
exactly,
keep
exactly, and you'll stay looking for the rest of this podcast.
No, these are all, we saw multiple of them on Twitter. Oh, Fergie's national anthem, that's a good one.
That was hilarious.
Lots of stuff. Vontae Davis retiring at halftime from the Colts.
Okay, so that's twice. Up there.
That's two Colts occurrences in just the past couple of years.
They need to right the ship there, I guess.
Ooh, this one we're going to get real deep into the Kaepernick situation. How about the NFL blackballing a Super Bowl quarterback in his prime?
That you could have a whole entire podcast about just that.
You could. Aaron Hernandez literally killed a dude.
A classic. All right.
Manti Te'o pretended he had a girlfriend. Do you want me to keep going?
No, you've said your piece.
Haven't made my point.
No, you haven't made your point, but you've said your piece at least.
All right, just checking. Good move, bad move.
For Andrew, for the Colts, obviously, this sucks. But for Andrew, I understand where he's coming from because, you know, mental and physical health, very important things, obviously. He wants to retire and, I mean, think about any other business. It's not like you have to, you know, obviously your own personal reasons you'd have to stave off retiring, but otherwise you can retire whenever you want. So that makes sense. The only problem I kind of have with this move from Andrew Luck is...
Besides leaving tens of million dollars on the table?
Right. Well, okay. Money aside, the only problem I have with Andrew Luck retiring right now is the NFL season is about to start, and it's a little bit of a shitty move to leave right before you're set to be the starting quarterback.
They do have one. This is the one thing that I will say on Andrew Luck's behalf, or actually one of the many, because I'm pretty much entirely on his side.
I am on his side. Let the record show. I agree. Like, you should be able to retire. It's completely his choice. But I just think the timing of it was poor.
I highly doubt that this factored into his decision at all. But he has Jacoby Brissett as a backup, which is one of the more seasoned backups in the entire league. So if there's anybody that's going to succeed in moving up to be a quarterback one, that's definitely going to be Jacoby Brissett. Would you agree?
I agree, but I can guarantee that had nothing to do with his decision.
No, obviously not. But he has bigger fish to fry with in regards to his health and mental health. But if you're the Colts and you're looking at Jacoby Brissett, you really couldn't ask for a better backup in this situation.
It just seems to me like this could have been a decision that he made several months ago. I mean, what changed? The only thing that would have changed from, at least from an outsider perspective, admittedly, but the only thing that could have changed from a couple months ago till today is he's gotten healthier, not that he's gotten worse. So it doesn't make sense with the timing, really.
Really, none of this makes sense, to be honest with you.
That's why it's the most surprising moment in sports history, in my opinion.
And moving to things that don't make sense, we have a lot of free agent running backs that think they're a big deal now. Free agent running backs holding out for big contracts, big money, when they are possibly at the most disposable position in the entire NFL right now. Melvin Gordon, currently his rookie contract worth $5.6 million. He wants something like 3 years, $39 million, somewhere in that ballpark. He's been holding out of Chargers camp, likely not going to play in the first couple of weeks at the very least. We might have another Le'Veon Bell situation, potentially holding out for the rest of the season. Will he get signed this year? And if you're the Chargers, why would you sign him? Why would you give him this kind of money when you know that the running back position is on a downturn right now?
Well, you wouldn't. That's the whole point. The Chargers last year didn't have Melvin Gordon for four games, and they went 4-0 in those games. Melvin Gordon's a very important piece to their offense. But he is
they're all disposable.
He's expendable, right? He can easily be replaced with any other running back, and they may not have the same level of success, but they can get by. The Chargers are in contention to be a solid playoff team, and one piece in Melvin Gordon, a position at running back that altogether isn't necessary to have one skilled player at. Melvin Gordon's not that big of a piece.
You need a discount at that position, am I wrong? Look at the Patriots. The Patriots have three disposable running backs, which I know I'm talking counter to what I said during the summer.
Yeah, wait. This is a big backpedal here.
Yeah, the Stugatz is strong in me. If you know the Dan Le Batard show, you know that Stugatz loves to do this exact thing that I'm doing and backpedaling extremely hard. Melvin Gordon is completely expendable, as is Ezekiel Elliott, who we're about to talk about. And we've seen all of the different angles from this on sports media, and I personally am choosing to take the side of the team in this regard. You cannot take that many hits on your body at that position and live to see a $39 million contract or a $60 million contract like Zeke is asking for.
Do you think they'll be able to work something out, though?
Not with Melvin. I think with Ezekiel Elliott they will. I do not think with Melvin Gordon. I cannot see him playing again in the Chargers uniform.
So is some team going to take a risk on that?
Oh, absolutely. Some team's going to take a risk on him, and he's that level of talent.
Well, but I'm saying, will they take that risk on him with that contract, with the contract he wants?
My bet is that it's going to be a yes.
The Lions?
Probably not the Lions, but I can absolutely see somebody taking a risk on Melvin Gordon. If you really think that you're just a running back away, then Melvin Gordon would be the ideal piece. but you're not going to take a gamble. It's not going to be a team like the Patriots. It's likely not going to be a team like the Lions because they're trying to do it the Patriot way and everything. Definitely not going to be the Chargers, obviously. So it's going to probably be some middle-of-the-road team. They're going to take a chance on him because you can't let that kind of talent walk. But if you're the Chargers, I completely understand where you're coming from.
I agree, but I will say this. If at some point during this season the Chargers' running game is at all questionable or suspect in any way,
oh, you're going to get backlash.
They're going to get lambasted for this. Why didn't you give Melvin Gordon his money? You know, he's a great running back. So it's definitely a risky move by both parties to go in this conversation.
Ezekiel Elliott, is he the same? Would you feel the same way about him? Or do you feel – I feel like he's a higher tier talent than Melvin Gordon. I feel like he's a better running back.
He's certainly a higher tier talent. The only problem with Zeke Elliott is he wants to be the highest paid running back of all time. Currently, the highest paid running back is Todd Gurley at 4 years, $60 million. And Zeke wants a bigger deal than that. And that's just not realistic. I mean, it's been talked about throughout this whole summer. The Cowboys have Amari Cooper that they have to pay – and they have to pay Dak Prescott. And Zeke Elliott, while he is a top three running back in the NFL, that's money that just can't be spent by the Cowboys right now.
4 years, $60 million, though, if you're going to give it to Todd Gurley, who already seems like he's on the downside of his career, if you would agree with that.
We'll see. We'll see this year. I haven't sold
him. If you're a fantasy owner, you know that all of the experts are projecting a major drop off from him just based on injury history and everything.
And we know how good the fantasy experts are, right?
Yeah, thanks, Matthew Berry. Thanks, Field Yates.
Dumbass.
But in regards to Ezekiel Elliott, you have to ask for 4 years, $60 million, because I don't think that Todd Gurley is any better talent than you are, and you've pretty much proven to be more durable despite having a few more off the field issues. I'll give you that. But you have to ask for 4 years, $60 million, and you probably have to demand it considering that Todd Gurley, like I just said, is no higher class running back than you, and you have one of the wealthiest owners in the entire league.
Well, you also have to consider when the deal was done with Todd Gurley, because when the deal was done, Todd Gurley was the clear-cut number one running back. The talks of Todd Gurley being on the decline didn't start until this offseason.
Is Ezekiel Elliott not the clear-cut number one running back in the league right now? Who's better?
I mean,
I'll put you on the spot.
We'll see with Le'Veon Bell, and you know,
I don't put Le'Veon Bell. He's a tier two. He's a Melvin Gordon-esque. He's a tier two running back. I put Melvin Gordon in that. I put Le'Veon Bell in that.
Christian McCaffrey is up there.
I put Christian McCaffrey probably in that second tier, close to first tier.
I mean, this is all getting to it's opinion at this point. He is probably the number one running back potentially, but it's not clear cut. I'll tell you that much.
Yeah, but if it's just him and Todd Gurley at the top, then is that not a reasonable contract to ask for?
I feel like we're totally missing someone. I there's someone that has been on the top of my fantasy charts for forever that I'm just totally
missing. Oh, there absolutely is, but that's neither here nor there, because I just want to know, in your head, who's more likely to reach a deal, Ezekiel Elliott or Melvin Gordon?
Oh, Ezekiel Elliott. That's
100%?
Yes.
Well, I'm right with you.
Not only because he's a better running back, but because I think Zeke is more flexible and willing to take a little bit less. I just think he is.
What from Ezekiel Elliott's history has shown you that he is flexible in any
way? Alvin Kamara, that's the running back. Alvin Kamara is the best running back in the NFL right now.
I mean, I'm going to have to disagree with you. But
no, he's the best. Best in the business.
All right, sweet. Thanks for that. You mentioned Amari Cooper and Dak Prescott having to get paid also. Are you really willing to pay Dak Prescott before you pay your running back? I know the way the league is going, but Dak Prescott, really?
Am I willing to pay him first, or am I willing to pay him the money he wants? Those are two different questions.
I'm not willing to pay him the money he wants or pay him first.
Well, the thing is, you have to look at the positions that they're playing, because quarterback is a more valuable – it's a more skilled position than running back.
It is, I know you have to overpay for mediocre. We just saw that with Kirk Cousins, but we saw how that worked out.
And you also have to realize that the trend of quarterbacks and really any players getting paid is cyclical. It's not dependent on the talent level of the player themselves. It depends on who's just gotten paid what the market looks like in the NFL, and then what contract the team is able to afford.
And quarterbacks are trending in the complete opposite direction of running backs. Let's not forget that also. I understand that completely.
Right. You're constantly seeing a quarterback deal get outpaid by the last
one. I mean, we've seen Kirk Cousins get that kind of guaranteed money, and he's not nearly the caliber at his position that Ezekiel Elliott is at running back.
Right, right.
We know that. So you're willing to pay Dak Prescott first? Is that what you're telling me?
I'm willing to pay Dak Prescott first so long as I don't have to, you know, give all my money away for it. Yeah, I think...
I mean, if you give him what he wants, then that you're going to. You're going to put yourself in a bind in the salary cap.
Also, you have to consider if giving Dak Prescott what he wants jeopardizes my ability to at least negotiate with Zeke, then I'm hesitant as well. So I'll say that much. There's a reason I'm not the owner of these teams, okay? I can talk about them. And then once they make their decision, I'll criticize them. That's what I'm good for.
Yeah, you are really good at that. Fantastic. Preseason's wrapping up. We've watched the Lions go, what, 0-3 now? 0-2? What are they?
Hey, but they went 4-0 when they went 0-16. So by the transit of property.
16-0?
Yes, right. If they go 0-4, they're going to go 16-0. It only makes sense.
We've seen across the preseason. I don't want to dwell on that too much considering that it's the goddamn preseason. But
hey,
give me just your opinions on the preseason and what you've seen so far. Big takeaways, anything that you'd like to talk about?
I know it's just ESPN's darling story, but that like Shihi Giuseppe, is that his name, right?
Yeah,
for the Browns.
Cleveland Browns.
I really hope he gets signed, if not by the Browns, by someone. That guy's awesome.
I know you haven't watched Hard Knocks, but the easy story of the preseason for me is the Oakland Raiders. If you've watched John Gruden screaming in the face of his guys, I don't know if any of you, our listeners, have watched Hard Knocks at all.
Probably not, because, you know, they don't spend their lives doing nothing.
But the knock on wood, if you're with me, all that stuff with John Gruden, I'm here for it, man. I love it. Absolutely. I like Derek Carr. Antonio Brown, getting to see him up close and personal, a CMU boy. We love to see that. Lots of stuff going on. And I think I texted you when this happened, but Central Michigan University did get a bit of a shout-out, actually more of a diss, on Hard Knocks. John Gruden, Antonio Brown having a conversation with one another.
All press is good press, I'll just say
that. That's absolutely correct. John Gruden basically used a three-syllable word. Antonio Brown thought it was funny, said he liked that word a lot. And John Gruden basically said, yeah, you don't have a lot of those at Central Michigan University.
I mean, is he wrong?
No.
I won't say that. No, Central is a great institution. What am I saying? This is paid for by Central Michigan.
He's not wrong. I wish it was. We want to get into a little bit of basketball talk before the break also. Team USA, not a whole lot going on in the NBA, obviously, but Team USA has been the storyline. And they've been in the headlines for all the wrong reasons, losing to, what was it, Australia? The Fighting Aaron Baines?
Fighting Aaron Baines, yeah, indeed. Yeah. Patty Mills.
Patty Mills, Aaron Baines, Joe Ingles, all those guys.
The best basketball really has to offer.
Yeah, 100%. They lost to them. Let's be honest, is this actually an upset? I mean, we've seen the roster for Team USA. Are we really that surprised that a team with Aaron Baines and Patty Mills has beat them? Because their talent level isn't that far ahead of that.
No. I think, what is their best player, like Donovan Mitchell?
Kyle Kuzma, maybe.
Kyle Kuzma got cut because he was injured, so not even him.
Well, that shows you how much I care.
Exactly. No one cares about this. Not only is it not an upset, no one is actually upset about this because who really cares? It's not even the World Cup. I mean, people probably wouldn't even be that upset if it was the World Cup. The only thing that's a bummer about it is that, you know, the streak was so long, so that was kind of cool, but it's meaningless basketball. It's like NFL preseason except for the NBA.
With the USA on the downturn right now and not having their best, not sending their best, obviously.
They are not sending their best.
Could Greece win with Giannis? Is Giannis enough? Because Giannis is clearly a bigger star than anybody we have on Team USA and absolutely on Team Australia, other teams like that. Could Greece win with just Giannis carrying them?
Well, he actually said earlier this summer, I'm sure many of you heard, that he would rather win this FIBA championship than he would win the MVP award for the NBA, which that's outrageous.
That's pretty much in line with everything else that he said, though, because Greece, you got to think about this from their perspective. We're Team USA. We win almost every year. If you're a small country like Greece and you're not necessarily a basketball powerhouse, and you produce a talent like Giannis, hell yeah, you want to win. And especially if you're Giannis, you want to do that for your home country and beat countries like the USA with, you know, the prized basketball league in the entire world with the NBA. You want to beat all those guys, and you want to be the reason that you beat them.
I'm going to be completely honest with you. I have no idea how Greece has done in this FIBA championship. Yeah. I haven't been keeping track of it at all. So yeah. I really don't know, like, if they have any chance.
Yeah, well, you put this in our show notes, so I'm going to blame you.
Well, you said it, so kind of your fault here. But honestly, I do have a question, though. Why this year is the year that Team USA has gone to shit? Like, why are the players not wanting to be on the team this year? What happened this year?
It's just a pretty much a, from what I understand, it's an advancement in the way that players are thinking about their bodies. You've seen all these rest days, load management, everything else. Do you really want to go play competitive basketball in the summer when you could just rest, recover, you know, work on your own game, practice by yourself, and not have the burden of being a part of another team, basically going through another season, more practices, more games?
It's for your damn country, man. Don't you have any patriotism?
The risk of – that sounds about white. Yeah. The risk of getting hurt, everything else. They don't want to cost them – how much are they getting paid for this Team USA gig? It ain't the millions that they're getting for
freedom,
the NBA. Yeah.
100 freedom 100%
dollars. 100% freedom dollars. Yeah, one – great. Thank you for that.
I'm just saying, if it was me, I'd be out there representing my damn country.
On the other side of the break, college football. Felipe Franks for Heisman. We'll talk to you then. We mentioned at the lead end of this show, at the top of the hour, we talked about doing new segments this show and this year, this season. And we have your brainchild right here on This Week in History, in This Week in History, whatever you want to call it. It's basically a knockoff of the And Finally segment.
Very original. It's our own creation.
Okay, sure. Yeah, if you've ever listened to the Dan Le Batard show, you're going to see something very similar to it.
No, our own creation.
It's called And Finally on there. And it's a bunch of wacky facts, basically stupid stuff that we just want to put on the airwaves for some ungodly reason. So I'm going to let you take over. This is your brainchild. You read what you got to read and tell me something interesting about what happened this week in history.
First, I'd like the record to show that this was my own completely original idea. Did not come from anything else. My own brainchild. Dan Le Batard Show does not use historical facts. They just talk about things that have recently happened. And it's completely different, so that's besides the point. But for the first ever inaugural This Week in History, we will have a trip back to 1938, where the first degree ever given to a ventriloquist dummy was awarded to Charlie McCarthy, who was Edgar Burden's wooden partner. And this honorary degree was titled the Master of Innuendo and Snappy Comeback, and it was presented at Northwestern University.
What is Northwestern doing?
Honestly, probably...
I thought they were supposed to be an elite Big Ten school.
They're a worse institution than Central, I would rank them.
Hot take. That's scalding hot.
Yeah, I mean, Central... I mean, we have everything you would want. We have corn. We have a Subway.
We have multiple Subways.
Maybe multiple. Two 7-Elevens.
This has gone too far. Can we just talk about college football, please?
This has been This Week in History.
Oh, my God. That was just awful. Just awful. We saw college football happen this week. Thank God. We've been waiting for
finally
for God knows how long.
A hiatus.
And we saw maybe one of the worst games I've ever seen.
I beg to differ.
One of the worst played games that I've ever seen.
The worst best game you've ever seen.
Turnovers, sloppy play, penalties, pretty much anything.
The game started.
Yeah, everything that you don't like about football was pretty much in this game. And I'm going to be the first one to say that I needed a cigarette after that game because I was so excited college football was back, and it was everything that I hoped it would be with the added bonus of terrible play.
The game, of course, Miami versus Florida. It was a highlighted blockbuster game that had been advertised for several weeks leading up to it. And, yeah, like Nate said, it really didn't live up to the hype if you were looking for...
Oh, I disagree.
Well, if you were looking for talented play. It definitely lived up to the hype. It was a very entertaining game to watch, I will say that.
It was Felipe Franks versus somebody who's not Tate Martell, was the way I look at it.
Felipe Franks, what a character. How do you feel about Felipe Franks?
Well, you saw what he did, and you heard what Aaron Murray said about him on Twitter, basically telling him he needs to tone it down, dial it back, whatever you want to call it.
He's not wrong.
And you saw him screaming into the camera on multiple occasions, turning the ball over immediately after. It was just extravagant, and it was tremendous, and I loved watching it because I hate Felipe Franks, and I love watching him get his head bashed in, so it was amazing in that regard. But can we just talk about how Florida won that game? Because Miami looked like they were in complete control until that muffed punt happened. Was it early in the second half? They pretty much had everything going their way. They were the underdogs going in, and they pretty much outplayed Florida for probably the first 2.5 quarters of the game. And then Felipe Franks rides in on his majestic steed and takes the game away from the Hurricanes. I hate it. So
I mean, we wanted to bash Felipe Franks too in Florida, but if you look on the flip side, Miami with Jaren Williams, I think Jaren Williams got sacked, what did it say, 7 or 8 times?
Yeah, and I thought Jaren Williams played pretty well.
But then you see Dan Enos, I think 2 days ago, came out and said Jaren Williams had a horrible game and he didn't play to the level that you know, we need from a Miami quarterback, which, like, I get you're trying to, like...
All right, Dan, take it easy.
Well, I get Dan's, like, trying to build up or, you know, tear down Jaren Williams as, like, a tactic to, you know, make him a better quarterback. But, like, as a freshman, which is what Jaren Williams is, he played a pretty darn good game in a hostile environment.
I mean, Dan Enos, who the hell is this guy? What are you telling me? What are you saying that you think Jaren Williams played poorly? He played pretty much as well as you could possibly ask a true freshman to play in that environment, in that game, college game day, all the hoopla around it, and then he got sacked 50,000 times. It's ridiculous for the offensive coordinator, whose literal job it is to protect that true freshman quarterback and put him in a position to succeed, and you're going to rip him for playing his best behind a shoddy O-line at the very best. Get out of here, man. Dan Enos, you're on my hit list.
I stand corrected. He was sacked 10 times. No, I said, well, you said 15,000, which a little off. I said 7. Regardless, the man, yeah, clearly was not protected by his line, so I don't know what Dan Enos is saying.
Dan Enos, my personal vendetta is to take you down for the rest of the year. Congratulations, you're on my list.
Wow.
You heard it here first.
Watch out.
Get out of here.
All right, so what are you excited for coming up in this next coming week of college football?
Well, yours, you know, Central Michigan University. The Chippewas.
They have a fierce game.
A fierce game. A rivalry game, some people would say. You know, Central versus the FCS. We have Albany coming to town tomorrow. A night game Thursday. I just looked at the forecast. Supposed to be thunderstorms.
Show off that new scoreboard.
Yeah, the scoreboard, which they're flexing oh so hard down on South Campus.
I love it. I really love it. For those at home, Central has been just blaring music and showing random-ass videos all over the scoreboard for the past week just to... Just because they can at this point.
Yeah, really just because they can. They have a bigger scoreboard than Ford Field. So basically, Kelly Shore Stadium, better than Ford Field, which means that we're better than the Lions, which means that we could be an NFL franchise, but, you know, it is what it is.
That's neither here nor there.
Yeah. No, that's here. That's absolutely here. That's absolutely here. Right here in Mount Pleasant.
So looking past Mount Pleasant, what other games are you looking forward to? For me, I see that same Thursday night, I see Clemson and Georgia Tech, which is a potential, you know, to be a fun game. We're going to see Trevor Lawrence back for year two. And then really the only one that sticks out to me on Thursday is Utah and BYU, which, you know, that's the holy war. It's a big rivalry. We love to see that. Love to see that so early in the year, especially.
Absolutely.
So that should be a fun, hot-paced game. But, I mean, it's not like we're going to be watching it because, you know, we're going to be sitting there in Kelly shorts rooting on our chips to a 3-point victory over the FCS team in Albany.
Yeah, that leads me to my next question. The Chippewas, 7.5-point favorites over an FCS team. You take the, what are you taking? Are you taking the chips minus 7?
I joke, but I take the over, absolutely.
Yeah, I'll take the chips at minus 7.5 or whatever it is. You saw that UCLA is playing Cincinnati. That has the potential to be a good game, a nice American team against a low-level Pac-12 team.
Don't sleep on Cincinnati. They're a good team. They have Luke Fickle as their head coach. He's most famously known for taking over for Ohio State and leading them to a 6-6 season. As a Michigan fan, I love Luke Fickle, clearly, even though his comments against Harbaugh aside, I still love the man. But Cincinnati actually does look primed to be a sneaky good team.
You think they can challenge UCF?
Oh, UCF.
In the American?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Really?
Oh, absolutely. I'm going to come out and say right now I think they're going to beat UCLA.
You think they're going to beat UCLA?
Yeah, week one, I do. I really do. I don't think – I could see it being a multiple touchdown game too. I'm dead serious right now.
Oh, my God. Okay.
So put that on your calendars.
Mark it down. Somebody write it down because I'm definitely not going to remember. I'm looking at other games. Not Luke Fickle. My God. Dude, Lane Kiffin against Ohio State at Ohio
State.
I'm
so excited for that game.
At the Horseshoe. What do you think? FAU going to give him a run?
I mean, Lane Kiffin was talking some smack in this offseason.
Doesn't he?
He said that Ohio State wasn't that good of a team. So you love to hear that.
Keep me and you, Lane.
Love to hear the moxie out of that, man.
You call that moxie?
That's absolutely moxie. You got to have brass balls to call out Ohio State. They got a new coach, Ryan Day, over there in Columbus. So, I mean, we're going to get our first look at Justin Fields as well. It's going to be really exciting. Obviously, FIU by probably 17 or 18, but we'll see.
Obviously.
100%. Yeah.
What's the spread on that game? Probably like minus 25, minus 30 for Ohio State.
Yeah, if FAU is lucky. Looking on, we've got
Colorado State, little rivalry game. Nobody cares, but we're gonna be watching it.
What day is that? Where do you
just
see that?
It's a rivalry. That's on Friday.
Oh, a nice Friday
matchup.
I'll be
home for that. I'll be in the 906. Be back at back right where I belong.
Right where you belong. I mean, another intriguing matchup, as always, is Akron versus Illinois. You know,
no, you always get those early season MAC Big Ten upsets.
Oh, love it.
Yeah, and I would love to see it. here's a good game. Can Kansas get a week one win with Les Miles as their head coach? They have a pretty tough matchup. They play the Indiana State Sycamores. And you know that no game's a gimme for Kansas. They're playing in Lawrence, so I'll give the slight edge to Kansas at home.
Larry Bird's old school.
Yeah, the Fighting Larry Birds. Yeah, I mean, that ain't a blow-off game. That's a game that needs to be taken seriously.
In all seriousness, this sounds like a joke, but this actually will be a very fun game to watch, I think. James Madison versus Western Michigan, or sorry, West Virginia. James Madison is the best for a while now FCS team, and they're going up against a WVU team that just lost Dana Holgorsen as their coach and Will Grier as their quarterback. So it will be interesting to see. I mean, obviously, West Virginia is the favorite, but
did you just call him Dan Holgorsen?
Dana.
Okay, just
checking. Dana Holgorsen.
Just making sure.
I mean, you can go back, run the tape, fact check me.
Yeah, just wanted to make sure. You know, but that I've never seen more fire hair on a human being than Dana Holgorsen, to be honest with you.
No.
I love what that man has going on at the top of his head.
What about, what's that Oklahoma State coach? Mike Gundy.
Yes,
Mike Gundy. He's giving him a run for his money there.
I don't know. Dana Holgerson's in a class of his own if you've seen it. Look up a picture of him right now. I want you to examine that and look at that.
I'll take your word for it.
All right.
But I'm going to tell you, folks at home, watch out for James Madison. I would take James Madison's spread on that game. So if you're a betting fan at home.
Are you ready to do this last segment?
The last segment already?
The final segment. I'm not surprised.
I am surprised.
This is another one of your brainchilds. This is a text. This is a midsummer text that turned into an actual segment on this show.
I think I really am the brains of this operation anyway.
And so, I really want you to explain it to the people. Tell them what we're going to tell them.
Okay, so this is going to be a weekly type event we have going on here. It's called Who is Your Daddy of the Week? Basically, the premise is you say, it could be anything. It could be a team. It could be a person. It could be an event that was the daddy that week of another person. So Nate will go first, and then I will present my daddy of the week.
All right, my who's your daddy of the week? Social media is Felipe Franks' daddy, and I'm going to tell you why. While I was scrolling through Twitter the other day, which I often do, I kept seeing Felipe Franks pop up in my feed far more than usual, and usually it's zero, so it was probably like one or two times. I saw him pop up in my feed, and both times it was a video. It was a SpongeBob edit, and for all of you at home, you know the "a few moments later" SpongeBob voiceover.
SpongeBob's the most memeable thing on the internet.
Yeah, hot take. No, that's not even a hot take.
That's not a hot take. That's a simmering cold take.
Yeah, SpongeBob is easily the most memeable thing on the entire face of the earth. Felipe Franks, if you saw, pointing at the camera like we talked about earlier in the show, saying, you know, stop playing with me. I do this, you know, like pounding his chest, flexing all over the camera. He promptly goes back out on the field, throws an immediate interception, lays face down on the field for a few minutes, just looks completely defeated, and social media had an absolute field day with it, so social media is absolutely Felipe Franks' daddy this week.
Solid choice, very solid choice. Personally, I'm going to go with one that I guess is a little bit predictable, but has to be put out there. So Andrew Luck is fantasy owner's daddy of the week for me. I mean, that kind of speaks for itself as one of the people who has, you know, gotten shafted by Andrew Luck's decision to make the retirement. Andrew Luck's my daddy. Andrew Luck's everyone's daddy who, you know, drafted him in their draft. So that one kind of speaks for itself, I guess.
Yeah, it absolutely does. And I kind of want to change mine, actually. I was
An honorable mention, maybe?
Yeah, an honorable mention, who's your daddy of the week, was me in the sack in the student activity center the other day hooping.
Wow.
I was handing out buckets yesterday, getting layup after layup, running the floor, shooting threes. Didn't make one, but, you know, you got to set your teammates up for rebounds, all that stuff. I also beat Brandon in one-on-one. Let the record show that.
That's neither here nor there.
Yeah, the first one-on-one game of the year. Got that out of the way. Got my first dub of many, I'm sure. Last year, I would probably put my winning percentage somewhere around 800-900.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, I gave him the business, and I expect to do that pretty much the rest of the year.
Don't believe a word. Don't believe an absolute word. So we'll be working out the kinks on this segment. You know, hopefully you'll get some quality content out of us. We just have to say that.
Yeah, we did not send our best today, but
it
is what it is.
It's the first episode of season two.
Gotta get the kinks out.
You know, the fans understand. They get it.
What you gotta do.
They understand, but by the end of this season, we're going to be, you know, a national brand.
All
we're
that.
Be on ESPN, probably. I mean, yeah.
The Ocho.
If they're lucky, I mean, you know.
All right, we're out of here. We'll see you next week. This has been the Trial Run Podcast.
God bless. Two trailer park girls go round the outside, round the outside.